Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you can see today, my sermon's on the importance of baptism. What is baptism? If you were here Wednesday, we talked about that, half hour, wasn't it? You know, just looking at it for different ways. Baptism is so important. Well, the first thing we know is in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore into all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that is not for pastors. It's for all Christians. All right, so why is it so important that our job as Christians is discipleship? You know, many times I think in our church here in the United States, we've lost that concept of discipleship. But it starts with baptism, because baptism is one of the most important things there is. All right, we just heard Genesis 1, the second verse in Genesis 1. And God sent his Spirit out over the waters. Now stop and think about that. From the very beginning, we have the Trinity. All right, now, in Hebrew, the name for God that's in the first verse and in that verse is Elohim. El is God. So when you see Jewish names like Beth, El, Beth is good, El is God. So that's the synagogue for good God. Okay, so when you see things like that, El means God. But Elohim, Ohim is an ending that means plural. So, if God is one, the Shema, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But the name we use for God is one who is many. Now, I've heard Jewish scholars say, oh, but you can use a plural ending on a singular noun. Okay, how often does it happen? Well, it doesn't happen often. But when we have that Trinity right from the very beginning, it deals the first thing with water. And if you notice, he sent these spirits out over the water, but the next day is when he made light and darkness. So how does God value water? A lot, doesn't he? Okay, because when you look at creation, it's that stuff that's really important. And so the very first thing that happens is that Spirit of God goes out. Okay? Psalm 29. We looked at Psalm 29, and it's about the voice of God. And then when you look at Psalm 29, you know, the voice of the Lord has power. It has fire. It shakes the wilderness. His glory thunders. All right, so based on that psalm, based on what happened in Genesis 1, does the Holy Spirit act as the powerful voice of God? Think about that for a second. I bet nobody's ever made that connection with me before. But yet, the voice comes from God. What else comes from God? The Holy Spirit, Creed, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. All right, the voice of God. Isn't that how God talks to us? All right, so the voice of God is where the power is. Yes, that's where the Holy Spirit is. Now we go to our gospel lesson today. Well, first of all, let's go to Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and remember, the glory has power, the glory is the voice, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Folks, to have a resurrection, what do you have to have first? A death. So without a death of some kind, you can't be resurrected. Isn't that the basic story of the Bible? And we've talked in here before, what's more important, the death of Jesus or the resurrection of Jesus? Why? Well, true, but why did he have to die? Right. Okay, I even preached on this twice in here so far this year. Redeem. What does redeem mean?
Ransom.
Ransom. All right, so Jesus had to die to ransom us from our sins. Just like anything else, something has to be paid for that ransom, doesn't it? So what did Jesus do? He paid himself. Okay, so in order to die or be resurrected, you have to die. All of God's creation is like that, isn't it? If you have animals that die, what do? Well, they degrade, they go back into the ground, you know. What about plants? Okay. Well, they're deceived, but the thing is, once they die, they get turned into mulch inside the ground. Okay? They give their vitamins and things back. And out of that springs new life. That's where the reseed comes. So, anything in creation, to have new life, you have to have a death. All right, so, why is the water important? Because as Romans tells us, we are baptized into his death, so therefore we will be resurrected with him. Now, how do we get to that point? Baptism. And as John the Baptist says, I have baptized you with water, but he who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. Now think about that. It's not like somebody, you know, pulled a switch and it does that. The heavens being torn open. And the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The voice comes the same time as the Holy Spirit. Now, do you think that voice of God was something that was just sort of soft in there? No, I bet that voice of God, "You are my beloved Son." You know, everything starts shaking because of the power of the voice. So we have God being pleased because Jesus was baptized. Now remember, when he goes up to John, what does he say to him in one of the other Gospels? John looks at him and says, "You should be baptizing me." And he says, "No, you have to baptize me." What importance does Jesus put on baptism? A lot. What importance does Jesus put on the water of life? A lot. All right. In all of these examples, the three parts of the Trinity are here at the same time. You know, one of the things that I've had people say to me, well, the Trinity is in the Bible. No, the word Trinity isn't. That wasn't even made until about 500 AD. But when we look at the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is mentioned in the Bible, right? Okay, the first thing is in Matthew 28:19. I flip-flop numbers. But when we take a look at that in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, name, remember I've told you before, has a masculine singular ending on it. So the one person who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. You following me on this today? Okay. And how do we get to that point? Through the redeeming waters of baptism. Isn't that the great example for us too? Why we have to be baptized? Now remember, I've told you there's three ways of being baptized. What are they?
Water,
fire, word. Okay, and remember, in regular baptism, you have the water and the word tied together. In fact, to be a sacrament, you've got to have the word of God there. So what's the operative thing? Is it the water or the word? The word. The word's important. Is the water important too? Yes. Now, I've talked to you that you can be baptized through fire or just baptized by your heart turning to God. But somewhere along the line, you need to have that happen too. Why? Because Jesus commands it. Jesus put the importance on it. Okay? It's not something that I decided on or anybody else. Jeff, you brought up the other day, you have to be baptized. You're right. But is it man's rule or God's rule? God's. And the danger that we face on this, it's so easy for all of us to turn what God wants into a man rule. In other words, turn it into law instead of gospel. Because when we have gospel, we receive all of the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ through the waters of life. But what happens if we turn this into a law? Are we receiving the gospel then?
No.
No. Okay? So we have to watch out for that. It's so easy because men want rules. When you have rules, you don't have to think. Right? Yeah. Well, I'm going to follow this rule. Well, yeah, but is that the right thing to do? I don't care. I'm going to follow the rule. Okay? But when you get the gospel, then you've got to sit there, is this what I should do? Okay. Am I serving Jesus by doing it? You with me? Because it goes back around. Remember, we don't have any power over God. If we look at those arrows, we never send arrows up from us to God. It's always from God to us, right? All right, so we don't have any power over him. But what we do have power is over us. We have free will. And our free will says, I should do this. Because what happens at this time? What enters us? Holy Spirit. And at this time, the evil in you is thrown out. In fact, in all the versions of our Luther Church, all of the denominations of it, Luther's prayer for baptism is an exorcism. Think about that for a second. Because what happens at baptism? The good is coming in and the bad's going out, right? Washed away your sins. Washed away the evil that's in your hearts. You know, you stop and think about that for a second. That's what baptism is. We're being washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're receiving the eternal grace of Jesus Christ. We're becoming part of the family. Right? And I don't care, I'm going to go back even a little bit bigger than our Lutheran denominations. All Christians go through this. Because of the importance that God and Jesus place on it. Because Jesus starts his ministry with his baptism. Today, as we celebrate this baptism, this entrance of all of us into the family of God, as I said earlier, we're going to renew the feelings of our baptism by touching the water and by making the sign of the cross in remembrance of what has been done for us. Isn't that a beautiful expression of our faith? I hope so too. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your saving gift of baptism. Help us to live up the salvation that is freely given to us as we can become part of your eternal family. This is most certainly true. Amen.